Thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. I'm Steve Lawson, joined as always by Kent Steinbeck, and we're coming to you from the iconic Herb's House in Dallas, Texas, which is a coffee shop. And Kent, a lot of great ministry takes place here in Herb's House. We do our men's Bible study here. We had to move over here 2 weeks ago for the early church service. You remember that? And kind of took us back to the old days. Trinity Bible Church actually, in a sense, started here at Herb's House and really even in your living room.
Sure. It was awesome.
But it's good to be here in Herb's House. We're in John 17, verse 2. I want you to take your Bible and turn with me to John 17, verse 2. The title of this is Sovereign Authority. Sovereign Authority. And I want to begin by just reading the verse, putting it in front of you. I hope you have your Bible open if you can. Not if you're driving your car, though. But let me read the verse. Even as you gave him authority over all flesh, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Kent, this is a part of the Lord's high priestly prayer as he is approaching the cross. It's the night before his death. And he is anticipating not just his death, but what will come from his death, that it will be through his death that eternal life will be given to all who believe. And all who believe, Jesus is acknowledging here, are those whom the Father chose in eternity past and gave to him in eternity past to come into this world and to lay down his life for them at the cross. And so Jesus is quite confident that of the success of his saving mission as he comes into the world, that he will not die in vain, that there will be a great multitude who will receive eternal life through his death, and that on the other side of his death, he will also be enthroned to the right hand of God the Father. And there he will have all authority over the whole universe, as well as over the enterprise of salvation. So, I mean, let's just look at this, Kent. He says, even as you, God the Father, gave him, God the Son, authority. Let's just stop there. The word authority, I can still remember R.C. Sproul talking to me about the meaning of authority. It means literally out of self. It is the freedom to act out of self without any external restraints that would hinder the exercise of your will. And so authority is really sovereignty that arises out of yourself, complete freedom to act as you please. And so the Father, upon the return of Christ back to heaven, seated at the right hand of the Father crowns him with restored authority over, he says, over all flesh. That means all mankind. Authority over the time of their birth, authority over the time of their death, authority over all peoples in all places, in all circumstances, throughout their lives. When he says all flesh, he's referring not just to the elect, but also to the non-elect, that he exercises supremacy over everything. And as Dr. Sproul would say, there are no maverick molecules in the universe. But then Jesus narrows the focus down, not just authority over all flesh, but more specifically, that to all whom you have given him, that refers to those whom the Father chose in eternity past for salvation, passing over others, choosing his elect, he then gave them to the Son and commissioned the Son, sent the Son into this world to lay down his life for these given ones. And so he says that to all whom you have given him, he, the Son, may give eternal life. The Son does not give eternal life to all flesh. He only gives eternal life to all those whom the Father has given to him. So there's even somewhat of a reciprocal nature here. The Father gives to the Son, the elect, and then the Son gives to these given ones eternal life. And eternal life is one aspect of salvation. It is being made alive unto God, to know God, and to have abundant life inside your very soul. So, Kent, let's talk about this extraordinary verse.
Steve, you explained it so well, I don't have any questions. What? Yeah. I got no questions.
I don't ever hear that, so it's nice to hear that once.
Steve, will you dive into will you dive into this doctrine of substitution? Can you use the word the doctrine of substitution here and explain what does that mean, substituting and for the Father? So are we saying in the Bible for our listeners, are we saying that Christ he died for every single person, his blood was for everybody, or what are we saying here? Are just for the ones his Father gave to him? Can you explain that?
Yeah.
And I think substitution is a way a lot of us like to think about it potentially. I don't know.
Well, Kent, the Father and the Son work perfectly together.
Okay.
Of one will and one mind and one purpose and one mission. John 10, verse 30, Jesus said, I and the Father are one. And that we really see that come to full fruition at the cross, in the death of Christ. And so we know that the Father has chosen his elect from before time began. That's so abundantly clear. Ephesians 1, verse 4, Romans chapter 9, 1 Thessalonians 1, 4. And so the Father, having chosen his elect, he gave them to the Son to be his bride. They are the chosen bride for Christ. And so Christ has been commissioned to come into this world and to lay down his life for these who have been given to him. And that refers to the elect. And so in the death of Christ, Jesus actually laid down his life for the sheep. John 10, verse 11 and 14, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. Jesus is like the husband who gives his life for his bride, for his chosen wife, specifically. It says in Matthew 1:21 that you will call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And so the blood of Christ was shed not in vain. No one for whom Christ died will ever perish in the flames of hell. All for whom Christ died, he secured and purchased their salvation at the cross.
But you're saying that Christ didn't die for someone and then they go to hell because they don't accept it.
Correct. That's exactly what we're saying, that there was a definite transaction that took place at the cross between the Father and the Son. And Jesus was not shortchanged at the cross. He didn't die for everyone, but only receive a certain number. No, he has secured the salvation for everyone for whom he has laid down his life.
So that was, he substituted and took every single sin, even the sin of unbelief.
Yes, yes.
So that everybody who he substituted for would
be
eventually
saved.
Be saved.
Absolutely, Kent. And, you know, as we're at Trinity Bible Church and I lead in the Lord's Supper, that's so dominant upon my mind and upon my heart. I can never come to the Lord's table again the same, understanding how definite and particular and specific the death of Christ was. And for those who are listening, they could probably Google this, but I'll never forget over 40 years ago reading Charles Haddon Spurgeon's sermon on this very verse, John 17, verse 2. And it was so eye-opening to me to understand the definite nature of the death of Christ upon the cross. He did not die in vain. So I would encourage you to even look up Spurgeon's sermon on John 17, verse 2. Well, Kent, thank you for those questions. And this gives all glory to God and all glory to the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He was victorious in his death. He accomplished the salvation of all of those chosen by the Father in his death upon the cross. Well, thank you for joining us for Steadfast Hope. It's such a privilege for Ken and me to be able to come to you with these studies. I know that this is a high doctrine that we talked about today, but we need high doctrine in order to have high devotion to the Lord Jesus Christ. So God bless you. Cannot wait for our next opportunity here on Steadfast Hope.